Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 39 seconds. So, hey, let's just pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that today, as your word goes forth, that it falls upon hearts that are ready to receive it, implement it into their lives, and see the results that you want them to see. I thank you that, first of all, we get the opportunity to love you, love people, that you show us how to have fun in the process. And, Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, for our big brother, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, not only for my sins, but for the sins of all humanity, all of mankind, from Adam all the way through today, I mean, this very moment. And so for that, we give you thanks. It's an awesome Sunday. It is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic, super cool, matchless name of Jesus that we pray. And if you heard the prayer and you agree with the prayer, then just say amen. All right. Today, Sunday, this is the first day of your week. You know, we've traditionally heard to where individuals have said, there's a saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. And so we need to start using our words and our authority, in the name of Jesus, of course, to go ahead and plan our week, just like you would plan on getting your tires rotated or getting an oil change or having your nails done or your hair done or, you know, going to the barbershop or the beauty salon or, you know, you plan on a basketball event or some type of sporting event for your children or your grandchildren or even, you know, for yourself. Well, we need to start taking Sunday, I don't want to single it out just to Sunday, because you can do it every day. You can do it with every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, finances, relationships, and then socially. Now, the most important thing you can plan on doing, if you have not already done it, is making Jesus the CEO, the captain, the manager, supervisor, your upward chain of command, the highest position in your life. You need to go ahead and make him that. Well, how do you do that? Well, you come to a conclusion that if you were to die today, that you want to go to heaven and not go to hell. Well, sin, which is what happened, sin came into the earth through Adam and Eve when they made the mistake in the garden. And see, and I'm mindful of what words I use, because I've heard they did commit high treason. Yes, totally understand. But I don't want to get to heaven, and then I get opportunity to talk to Adam and Eve, and he's kind of like, well, why did you not stop eating too much sugar, and then it caused. I mean, you know, see, we can. There are so many areas to where we need to work on before we just arbitrarily start judging and bashing someone else. And even that, Adam and Eve, the mistake, God immediately went and started fixing the mistake that Adam and Eve made. He got with Jesus. He said, look, we need to fix this. And it was actually God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they said, we need to fix this. And so Jesus said, well, you're going to need a sacrifice, you know, because a human disobeyed you, we're going to need a human to obey you. And so Jesus said, well, since I got a body, I'll just be born a human. How's that? And then I'll die on the cross for the sins of everybody ever born after Adam and Eve, because they're going to be born into a sinful state. And so I'll just die so that, and then offer myself as a sacrifice. And then once you accept it, everybody who believes that I died for them, they'll be accepted by you just the same as I was accepted. And if that works for you, Dad, that works for me. And God said, that works for me. And then the Holy Spirit set the plan in motion, sent Gabriel, talked to Mary. Mary said, all right, let's do it. And we got Jesus. He died on the cross, and then boom, here we go. See, the gospel is not hard. It's very simple. So all you have to do is believe that Jesus died for your sins. That's it. That he fixed the problem. And then from that point, you want to make him the orchestrator of your life. Because, see, he already has a plan. And so the first thing I would do, if I'm not already, I would just get born again. I would talk to Jesus about, hey, what do I need to do? Well, I just explained what you need to do, but you need to talk to Jesus about what I just explained. And trust me, he will accept you. Yeah, he'll accept you. He'll take that sin and give you his righteousness. And righteousness is simply putting you back in right standing with him. That's all. It puts you in right standing with God the Father. That's it. So that would be the first thing I would do. Now, the second thing I would do once I've done the first thing is to start the process of renewing my mind. Because you're not going to – I was on Facebook yesterday. I like social media because, you know, it gives you the opportunity to see the perspective that people are coming from, but at the same time, it also gives people the opportunity to see your perspective. And so there was a post on Facebook it had to do with, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what was it? Well, I guess I need to get into some scriptures anyway, but, yeah. It had to do with, I think the question was, can a Democrat, a person who sides with the Democratic views and platform and so forth, can they be a born again Christian? Or can they be a born again Christian? It was something along that line. And then, because there are things that both parties, and I don't want to really get into a whole political thing, but, you know, sometimes you have to touch on stuff. There are things in both party platforms that anybody can disagree with. And so most people feel like, well, if you're of this particular party but you believe this, then how can you say you are a Christian? Or if you're a part of this party and you believe this, how can you say that, you know, this is what God is saying? You know, so that was a problem. And so I do not respond or I don't make comments. But this particular time, it gave me an opportunity to just shed some light on something. So the question was, can a Democrat be, someone who is a member of the Democratic Party, can they be a born-again believer? And there were a lot of, no, there's no way, blank no. And just, I mean, it was, and that's another thing we got to work on. We got to work on social media etiquette. Because there's a lot of speech that sounds like they hate people. Yeah. You know, I know the world has its definition of hate speech, but at the end of the day, if you're using your words to speak as if you just, I mean, it's hate speech. That's what it is. Some of this stuff that's out there. And I would encourage the social media platforms to just, if it offends anybody, then you just send that person a nice little message and say, look, now I do know that some of the stuff out there, okay. So my response to the question was, yes, they can. A person of any political party can, and most of them are, born-again believers. Now, here's the thing, though. After you become a born-again believer, what are you doing to make your thoughts line up with God's thoughts? Because let me tell you something. When you leave this planet, when you leave this earth, there's a scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but 10 and I think 23, might be, yeah. Might be 1 Corinthians 10 and 23. But it talks about absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when you step out of this body, because your spirit, soul, body, and then you use finances, and then you operate in relationships, and then you interact with people on a social level, like when you're in a grocery store or at the auto mechanic shop or at the job. These are people outside of your relatives, because that's the relationship part, to where your blood relatives, your cousins, uncles, mom, dad, all that, children, husband, the people, those are your relatives. And then you handle finances. So there are six major areas that affect every human being, whether they like it or not. Spirit, soul, body, finances, relationships, and then socially. So what happens, when you get born again, the most important thing you can do is start the process of renewing your mind. Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we'll turn there. And I know this is supposed to be Sunday, the first day of the week, first day of your week. But this is actually pretty good, because these are the things that, what's the point of having a Sunday if you're not going to, well, I don't want to say use it incorrectly, but hey, this is where it starts. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and this is out of the New Testament in Modern Speech, Weymouth, Richard Francis Weymouth translation. And so it says, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the compassion, mercies of God, to present all your faculties to him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to him, a spiritual mode of worship, and do not be conformed to this present age, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your minds, so that you may learn by experience what God's will is, namely, all that is good and acceptable to him and perfect. Well, that's pretty simple. You have to start the process. Now, notice it says it's a process. It didn't say it's a one-time event. So you get born again. But you got to understand something. Your mind didn't get born again, and your body didn't get born again. Your money didn't get born again, and your relationships didn't get born again, and then the people in the grocery store didn't get born again like you did. So basically, it's you're one-sixth of perfection that God wants to manifest in your life, your spirit, which is who you really truly are. I can prove it. Just go to a funeral, and inside that casket, there's no animation. There's no life. So when the spirit and soul leave the physical body, there's just a shell left. So that's why it says absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yeah, God is spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24. So then that means since I'm made in the image of God, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then that means I am spirit. So God is spirit, I'm spirit. I leave the body, I go be with God in heaven, Jesus in heaven. So then that means I'm going to have to go in a spiritual mode. I'm going to have to get there. So that's why you get a glorified body. You get a brand new body that your soul, that you and your soul can properly function in. Your body is going to move at 186,000 miles per second and faster. You will move at the speed of light, the speed of thought. That's just how it works. Now, why did I bring up all this? Because in my comment, I made the statement. I said, you will have to renew your mind while you're here on the earth, because when you get to heaven, now if you do not renew your mind while you're on the earth, when you get to heaven, you will immediately be enrolled in Renewal of the Mind 101. Because you get to heaven and you see a lion and a lamb playing together, that's going to be a problem, because you can't comprehend that. How are you going to comprehend no darkness, no time, streets of gold, no paper money or bills? That's what they're really called, a paper. You know, it's a they used to exchange receipts on a bill, or a guy would give a guy a receipt, and then he would come back and he'd have to pay it and just so. But to comprehend all of that, what are you going to do if you see a creature, according to the Bible, that has wings and it's got, I think it has six wings and it has eyes all throughout its body? What are you going to do with, you show up in the heaven and you see, and they tell you, okay, run over to Venus real quick and take, we need you to do some stuff over there. You know, see, we read things in the Bible, but do we really actually process what we're reading? Yes and no. You can process it, but it has to be from a spiritual mindset. Because that which is spirit is spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. The spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. They can't comprehend or grasp one another. They don't know how to coexist and be. Now that's why you have to buffet your flesh. You have to make it come under subjection because your flesh wants to do all kind of stuff. It's amazing how for years I did not eat sugar, like processed sugar. I'm talking about like the sugar that's made in labs and all that kind of stuff. And I actually didn't eat raw sugar. Now, as a kid, I used to eat a lot of sugar. I'd eat every kind of candy bar you could think of. You know, I like the syrups and the jams and the jellies and the everything. And I used to take sugar and put it on my cornflakes because it was tasted plain. I need some sugar. I used to put sugar on like butter beans. We called them butter beans back then. But you know, when you know better, you should do better or speak better. And that's not to say that if someone says butter beans, you know, I'm not. Please don't take it that way. I was just being comical. But I started realizing something that my flesh had developed an appetite for that sugar to where when I didn't give it to it, it cried out, man, we need something sweet. That's why renew your mind, which is going to help you start changing your speech to where you're not saying, I have a sweet tooth. This is what you're saying. You're saying one of your teeth is speaking to you and says, I need sugar. That's what you're saying. But then what happens when cavities show up? See, your flesh only, its appetites only care about, and please understand something, the flesh, there is your natural physical flesh. But in the biblical sense, your flesh is a way of thinking that opposes God. Because the flesh is good, and it's never, ever enough, ever. It wants more and more and more and more, and it just keeps, I mean, until finally your body is just like, we just can't take it no more, but then once it gets a little break, well, let's go at it again. Let's get right back at it. You know, my heart goes out to anyone that's in any type of bondage, cigarettes, alcohol, meth, sexual, any type of bondage, to where it's just never enough, and you don't know how to get a hold of it. You don't know how to control it. You don't know how to stop it. And so I guess my thing is, Jesus is the one, because I had some addictions that were, it was when I look back on it, it was ridiculous how I conducted myself. Because I just, a craving would come up, I'd go satisfy the craving, but then it wasn't beneficial for my overall health. It wasn't beneficial for my overall thinking. None of that. It wanted what it wanted, got it, and then it so to speak subsided, and then boom. Maybe a couple of minutes later, or maybe an hour later, or maybe a day later, or a week later, it popped back up. Boom, here we are. And so finally, I just had a very candid conversation with the Lord, and I said, look, I do not want to keep doing this. And so I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, number one, I care about that which concerns you. And because you brought it to me, here's what I want you to do. Now, I'd rather not get into the intricate details of what God told me to do, because I do not want someone to think that, well, I'll just do what he did and then I'll get the results he got. God gave me specific instructions that allowed me to get delivered from something, because he knows me specifically. And so I would encourage you to, number one, obtain a relationship with Jesus. And then number two, start talking to him. Notice the word start. Remember, Sunday, the first day of your week. So today, start talking to God about your life, about those things that bother you. Okay, the guy, he doesn't make child support payments. Well, God knows what's going on. He'll show you. And he'll show you how to conduct yourself and act and behave and all of that, instead of just calling a no good, sorry, non-child support paying man or woman, because we have now, but I can guarantee you this, those words are not going to help the situation, because what you're doing is you're calling those things that be as though they be. And as long as you keep saying what be, it's going to keep being there. So instead of, speaking negative, start, speaking positive, or no, start speaking godly words. I thank God that, you thank God that your children are blessed of the Lord, and, they're prosperous and successful, and they live long lives, and they have all their needs, wants, desires, occasions, and demands met over and above. Start speaking that, and then speak that other parent is doing what they need to be doing. Once we get born again and we start seeing that there's a different way to do things, most people think, well, this is the only way, and if we don't do it this way, it just won't get done. Well, life is that's not always the truth. Before someone jumps in and says, well, there's only one way to God, if you choose to believe that, then I'm not going to argue with you. But I know I tried a whole lot of other stuff, but then the one true God showed up in my life, and my life has not been the same since. See, it's one thing to talk about God, but it's a whole different story when you've experienced his goodness in your life, when he has literally shown up and done things for you that absolutely transform your thinking about him, that absolutely, because see, growing up, I grew up I grew up in environments to where, I went to church, but I never developed a relationship with the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is I thank God for my grandfather, Mr. Melvin Hikes Sr., who as a youth, when I was like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, well, not 10 because we were in Germany when I was 10, so probably when I was like about 7, 8, 9, and then again when I was like 12, 13, somewhere around there, he would ask me when we were doing the summers, we'd sit outside, and he would ask me to read the Bible to him. And, I love my grandfather, and he loved me, and he loved all of his grandchildren. He just loved us all in different ways. And so I would read the Bible to him, and as a result, I literally developed a love for the Word, but I just didn't know it. And so once that happened, I just started noticing, even when I was at, I made a promise to myself that when I got away from, when I was old enough to move away, and then, well, I mean, I could have moved away before that, but when I moved away and I said, I don't have to go to church anymore. still not going. And so I tried to stop going to church after I joined the military, but then I still wound up, I'm 1,500 miles away from my hometown, and I just have to find a church. Because it was in me. It was in me. And so I'm going to church, you know, and then, but I'm still feeling empty. Well, one day I am at a gym in Tucson, Arizona, and there are a bunch of names on the board, and I know I'll finish with this. There are a bunch of names on the board, and the way it works when you play pickup ball, you play the first five, play the second five, then the winner of those two, the third five, they play the winner, and then so forth. Well, there were already nine names on the board, but then there was an open slot with the bottom six through ten. There was an open slot, but the ninth name said it had Pastor, Pastor, and I'm thinking, man, you know, first of all, ain't nobody named Pastor. But then second, I don't feel like playing with no preacher dude, because I want to cuss, I want to act up, and I just felt funny. It just would have felt funny. Plus, I developed a certain mindset about church leagues and people that play for their church, and I always thought they were soft, and you know, they don't really, there's no heart, and you know, you just figure out a way to dunk on them or shoot or blow them out by 30. You know, that was just how I was in my world of basketball. So I looked at the clock and I said, well, man, I got to go though, but I want a ball. So I went ahead and put my name on the board and then played. And the guy was actually pretty good, the pastor. He was pretty good. And so we started talking afterwards. And came to find out he and I were in the same – well, his wife was in the same squadron because he was a dependent husband. His wife was in the same squadron as I was. And then he bowled and I bowled and – He balled and I played on the scene. It was like, this was cool. I was like, okay. I was like, all right, this is cool. And so we wound up becoming really good friends. And well, actually, at the end of that conversation, he invited me to a Bible study. I don't want to go to no Bible study. I'm trying to get away from church. I'm trying to get away from all this stuff. I just want to live my life, go to the club, have fun. That's all I wanted to do. And so he invited me to the Bible study. And then when I got there, the process of where I am today started because he had this Bible. Now, I've seen Bibles and I've read Bibles, but he read out of the Bible the places where it says that God died for me, he loved me, and he had a plan for my life. I'm not saying that was never said. I just never heard it. I never caught it. And so I think that was on like maybe a Thursday or something, or maybe might have been. I'm not sure what day it was. I was trying to fix it the way it was like a Sunday, but you know, but that was the start for me. That was the start of the journey of, and that happened maybe 27 years ago, and I've been with Jesus ever since, and I'm not going nowhere because I love him too much, and he loves me, and he got a plan for my life, and I'm walking it out, and I'm telling you, it is awesome. It is absolutely awesome. So here's the thing. Everybody on this planet gets the opportunity you get the opportunity today, if you're listening, to start over. This is today, this Sunday. October the 24th, 2021, is the first day of your week. So if you've yet to make Jesus the Lord of your life, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. So today, I give up being a sinner, and I receive your righteousness as a result of what Jesus did. I believe that he went to hell for me. I believe he was raised on the third day. And as a result, I'm now born again. And I thank you so much. Now show me how to live out my week. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for tuning in. And I guess we'll do this again next week.